So because Dronacharya had taught the Pandavas all the different, you know, weapons, how to fight, and, you know, different mantras, and Arjuna was his, you know, chief student, and so the Kurus wanted to show the populace that, you know, they were defended, and, you know, because the blind king was in charge, and, you know, then Pandu had died, and so there's a little bit of angst there, you know, and so after the Pandavas had been taught, you know, and the Kurus how to fight, then it's a good, because that's the Kshatriya's function, is to defend the society, you know, so they wanted to show, and Dronacharya wanted to showcase his prowess as a teacher. So this was a main event of showcasing the Pandavas' skills and the Kauravas' skills and the teaching of Dronacharya. So they found a place outside the city, and they used the Vastu to find an auspicious location, and they used the astrology to find a good day to start, you know, getting everything ready. And then they, the interesting thing is that the way it's described is the Kurus actually didn't build the seating. It was a bunch of Vaishyas that got the money together, and they built all this seating. And then different people got to sit on it, and then they made money that way. But everybody knew where it was going to happen. So people built seating, and then they made money that way. That's the way it's described, how they managed to do all that stuff. So they built all this seating, and there's all these, you know, there's an arena in the middle, and then, you know, all the Kauravas and the Pandavas came out with sword and shield, and they started to show all those skills that they had, and they were, you know, play fighting, and then Bhima and Duryodhan came out, and Bhima had his big club, and Duryodhan had his big club, and, you know, the thing is that I don't think I've mentioned it, but all the Kurus were actually, you know, all the sons of Dhritarashtra were actually incarnations of demons. And all the Pandavas are incarnations of Devas, you know. So when Bhima and Duryodhan were standing opposite each other, the whole sky was filled, the whole subtle realm was filled with these Asuras and Devas watching the fight, you know. And it got so intense that they actually were almost going to get into war. And even Dronacharya could see this because he was so mystic, you know, he had the sight. And so he told Ashwatthama to get in between, because Ashwatthama was big, and they were rushing at each other, and they were ready to go into war, you know. the Bhima and Duryodhan and the Devas and the Asuras are also waiting, wanting to fight. So when they were fighting, the whole climate was so tumultuous that Dronacharya, he said, Ashwatthama, you get in the way. So Ashwatthama got between them, and he was big. And he was covered with, he had a deer skin, and it was covered with red chandan, which is a sandalwood. They make it a reddish color. And so he got in between, and he told him to stop. So that's what the way Madhvacharya describes it, because usually they say, you know, he just got in between, but there is more finer details as far as why all this was going on. So then all of a sudden, you know, Dronacharya comes, and he says, this is my star disciple. So, you know, he's the Amsha of Indra, and he will protect all the Kurus. So Arjuna comes, and he has his bow, and they have all these kind of spinning rings, and he shoots his arrows through it. And they have all kinds of very difficult targets, and he does them all. And then there's a big mechanical animals that are going around, and he would shoot them, and these different things were happening. So then he was finished, and everyone cheered, and everyone was happy. And then they heard a laugh. They heard laughter. And this big personality walked into the assembly. And he's covered with golden armor, and he had red hair and golden-colored skin. And that was Karna. So now, you know, the thing with Karna is he's a tragic hero, but it's something that people need to pay attention to in this scenario, is that this was a private display of the prowess of the fighting. So when he came in there and he started to act in this way, it was very insulting. And you're dealing with Kshatriyas, and they can't, they don't take insults. So when he came in there, he started to laugh, and he said, "I will do everything that he has done." And everyone was like, oh. So then he did everything that Arjuna had done. And he had been taught, actually, by Parashuram how to fight. Karna was the son of Kunti. There's a whole story with that. She used the mantra. That's how, you know, Durvasa gave her the mantra. And so he said, "You call any deity." So, you know, the sun started to rise, and she felt the warm touch of the sunlight. And so she wondered what the sun god must look like. So she wanted to test and see, you know, if the mantra worked. So she used it and summoned Surya. So Surya came, and he was beautiful, and he said, "Now I must give you a child." She said, "Oh, I didn't want a child. I just wanted to see what you look like. I was curious." He said, "You shouldn't just test out this mantra just to see what's going to happen. The part of the stipulations in the mantra is that the god that you summon, they give you a child." So she was stressed, you know, but he assured her that she would attain her virginity. So he just shot her with light from his hand, and she became pregnant. And so that was Karna. So he's then she, you know, gave birth to him, and she put him in a little boat on the Ganga, and he went down, and then the Adirath, who was the charioteer for the Kuru, he was a charioteer. He found the baby. He's a Sutta. Now the interesting thing about a Sutta is that they're a mixture of a Brahmin and a Kshatriya. When because the husband has to be of a higher caste than the woman, or they should be, ideally. And so the thing is that if a Brahmin woman marries a Kshatriya man, then the child is a Sutta, because it's a mixed Varna. And so the Sutta is an interesting mixture of the Brahmin and the Kshatriya. And they're actually, you know, a lot of people try and, especially these days in India, try and use Karna as a poster child for low caste mistreatment. You know, that's the common plea that you hear, especially, interestingly, by communists. They like to use Karna and say he's a hero, and that Krishna and all the Pandavas are evil, because of, you know, the atheistic nature. And so there's a lot of that, actually, that happens, especially, like I said, from communists and atheists, when they try and retell. If you see a story, like a lot of times it'll be like a TV show or a movie, and they make Karna a hero, and Krishna and Arjuna the bad guys, the low caste mistreatment. But the fact is that the Sutta is a mixture of a Kshatriya and a Brahmin, and they're actually considered Dvija, because they have that mixture of the Brahmin in there. And so they actually wear the sacred thread, and they do Agnihotra, even though they're the chariot driver, because they don't like to fight. But the thing is that their job is they like to see the battle. And then when they're done, they come back and they tell a story about the battle that they had seen. A lot of times they would be bards, like musicians, or they would tell a story and be based on the battle that they had seen. Because they got that Kshatriya nature. They don't necessarily want to fight, but they don't mind, you know, get in there a little bit, you know. So they would, you know, drive the chariot, and then when they come back, they're telling a story, like what happened. And so that's what a Sutta does, and that's what a Sutta is. And so they're not like low caste, you know, they're like, oh, this is, you know, untouchable or whatever. They're actually like very high. They're above Vaishya and all the other. Vaishya's a Dvija caste, you know, there's so many of, but Sutta's even above that, you know. So that's, you know, a lot of times people try and make this thing, oh, Karna, they mistreated him. That isn't really the case. Just that when he went in there and he did that thing where he showed, you know, all these skills, it's like, you know, they have the Olympics and then some guy just jumps out of the audience and starts to participate. You know, they kick him out. I mean, you know, or some rock star singing a song and then like some guy jumps on the stage and takes the guitar out of his hand and starts playing or something, you know, it's like, it's rude. It's rude. And you just don't do that in civilized society. So Karna just goes here and does this whole show. And so Bhima was offended. Everyone was offended, but Bhima especially, and Bhima doesn't, you know, Bhima doesn't control his temper, you know. And so he was really angry. And so Kripacharya, he came forward and said, you know, Arjuna said, I'll send you the way of the unwelcome guest, which means I'll fight you, you know. And so Sutta said, Karna said, sure, I'll fight with you. So they said, this is Arjuna, the son of Pandu. What's your lineage? So then, you know, Karna got embarrassed and he said, you know, I'm the son of Adhirav. So then Bhima made fun of him because he was mad at him. He wasn't like, you know, he said, oh, you take the bow of his hand, give him a shovel for getting the horse shit, you know. But that isn't the way that you would treat a sutta. I mean, there's a respect there. It's just Bhima was angry at him for the way that he had done everything. He was totally rude and disregarded all manners. So Bhima was like, yeah, if you want to act that way, sure. So seeing, you know, Bhima's not liking him, Duryodhana's nature hating Bhima, immediately embraced him and said, oh, no, he's good. He said, and plus he saw his skills were good. And Arjuna was such a great warrior that he was kind of worried about him. So if here's somebody that can fight Arjuna, then I want him on my side. So he's like, oh, no, he's good. If he has to be a Kshatriya, then I'll make him be Kshatriya, because he obviously is. And Duryodhana makes a valid point in that. I mean, at that time, things were starting, because it's on the crux of Kali Yuga. A couple centuries before and a couple centuries after, it's a mixture of the two yugas, you know? That's why, you know, even like ancient Egypt and Mesopotamia and all these things that were a couple thousand years ago, it's way better, you know, than the modern Kali Yuga. Because up to, you know, I think it's a few centuries on either end, you know, like 800 years or something from the previous and into the next, you got a mixture. So you still got some of that Dwarpa Yuga kind of mentality left over. If you look at some of these more ancient Egypt, you know, they have these giant, you know, buildings that are amazing. And, you know, the ancient world was a lot more sattvic than today, right? And so, because there's some of that Dwarpa Yuga still mixed in there, a little bit leftover kind of stuff. So, but still, you know, Kali Yuga is still mixed in to the Dwarpa part. So people, the ideal is that you judge a caste on their propensity. Like if you got certain skills, then that's what caste you are, right? But, you know, there's a certain sense of birth too, and kind of sneaks in. And so that's kind of why that behavior was there with the Pandavas and Karna. And I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, it's the way it's working. So if you look a lot of times, I mean, a lot of times the son does the work that his father does. Sometimes he don't, and he's got a different nature. But even then, a lot of times the son picks up some of the talents or traits of the father. It just kind of gets passed on. It's the way, I mean, it is a fact of life, you know. So that's why the whole birth in caste thing kind of got more firmly established later on. Also, people are like, well, I want to take advantage of the situation, you know, because even though my son's acting like a Malecha, I want him to inherit my, you know, responsibility, you know. So they, you know, it's that kind of, you know, manipulation's always going to be there. So, but yeah, I just want to delve into Karna a lot, because a lot of times people get misunderstandings, and there's a whole lot of misunderstanding by people in the Mahabharata, people that take the time to read the Mahabharata or watch a movie on TV or something, that they really miss out on, like, what's really going on with Karna, because that's, you know, that's a whole important thing. So Karna got promoted, and then, you know, they kind of have the standoff, and the sunlight, you know, starts to pour on Karna, you know, and then these big clouds in the sky, big thunder clouds, you know, start to come over Arjuna, and there's like rainbow in the sky and flashes of lightning, and they're there, and they kind of like start to cover up the sun, and then the sun light starts to shine through, and so even the gods are Indra's supporting Arjuna, but the sun is going through the clouds to support Karna, because, you know, Karna is Surya Putra, he's the son of the sun god. So, but it, you know, eventually they didn't fight. And so that was, you know, it was left the fighting was left undone. Which is, I suppose, good for Arjuna, because at that time Karna had a golden armor, which was impenetrable, and two kundali earrings that were, they absorbed, if you shot a astra at him, they would absorb the power of the astra, his earrings. In, you know, it's a kind of Leela thing. You know, that's the other thing we have to understand. Because in the Ramayana, you know, Sugriva was Lord Rama's assistant. And Vali, who's the incarnation of Indra, he was Rama's enemy. So in the Mahabharata, they switched their position. And so Surya was the bad guy, and Indra's got to be the good guy. So that's another, you know, aspect. Now, you know, why did Karna have the armor and the earrings in the first place? That's a question someone might have. Now, a long time ago, there was a demon named Sahasrakavacha. He got that name because he did austerities. And he figured he'd cheat, you know, because all these demons, they do their tapasya, and then they come up with some kind of idea about, you know, how they're going to cheat death, you know. And so what he figured is, okay, I'll have an armor with 1,000 layers. It's a hasra. It's 1,000 layered armor. And in order to break one layer, you have to do tapasya for one whole year. And if you break the layer, then you die. So then he thought he got it figured out. So what happened was there's Nara and Narayan. And so they both did, there's this place where if you do tapasya for one day, it counts as one year. So they did a relay where one would come and fight him and attack while the other one was doing tapasya. And he'd break the armor. And then he'd appear like as if he was dead. And then the other one would come back and revive him and then break the armor. And they did a rotation like this. And so after some time, they wore down his armor. So then he had one left. They tag team. Yeah, tag team like wrestling. So they got him down to one. So then he was scared because he realized, oh, they're going to get me. So he ran and he went to Surya. Because Surya is the originator of the Surya Vamsa, the line of Kshatriyas. So the thing with Kshatriyas is they give protection. Even their enemy comes to them and asks protection, they give. So demon came and he said, I want your protection. So Surya said, okay. So Narayana, they chased him to the sun. I mean, Surya said, if you want him, you have to kill me. He's my ward. So they're like, okay. Leave him be. So then they left. And so that demon, Jiva, with the Amsha of Surya, came and was born as Karna. So that's why when he was born, he had the armor. It was left over. So that's a story from Madhvacharya. That's an interesting one. And it kind of explains also Karna's evil attitude. He's not the best person. So I guess that's a good place to... Yeah.